Ross Bowman Podcast.
You better listen.
Welcome back to the Ross Bowlin Podcast, presented by Bowlin Media. I am Ross Bowlin, here with Cade Orris, a potentially hungover Cade Orris.
Earlier, I was.
You've recovered?
Yeah, after some Austin Java breakfast tacos and coffee, I'm feeling a little better.
Good.
Just a huge headache this morning.
Ooh.
That's all it was.
What did you drink?
Too much.
I saw some Bud Lights.
Yeah, had some Bud Lights.
In the old office trash can.
Yeah. So start off with that, and then it was mostly beer, and then...
A little pregame, were you dancing around the house nude to murder on the dance floor?
No, I wasn't doing that. I was actually playing some Fortnite.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
With the children.
With the children.
That's where the children play.
No, I was actually just playing against bots, mostly.
Yeah,
that's kind of what it is now.
That's basically the state of the game, okay?
Yeah,
Bud Lights, Fortnite.
And then I had a shot of Rumplemintz. It wasn't my choice.
It was handed to you?
Yeah.
It was still your choice, just so you know. But yeah.
Yeah, I could have said no, but...
But hey.
Yeah. And then there's
Thursday
also,
night, baby. Right, you're alive.
Right? And then also a shot of tequila, which, again, I could have said no.
Okay, well, this is where the headache came into play there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've had, like, a rough hangover like that.
Yeah.
Where like just like a pounding headache.
The headache comes from the mixture
of
different alcohols, I feel like. When I would get the really bad headache hangovers.
Yeah, and like the dehydration, not drinking any water doesn't help that either.
You don't seem like a soulless monster this morning, though, which is like, that's the worst version of hangover, where you're like near death.
Yeah, there's no self-loathing going on.
That's huge, Cade.
It's just the headache.
That's huge, man.
Yeah.
I'm really happy for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's finally sunny and nice outside today as well, but for the last week we've been dealing with, you know, for our area, geographically, what is considered extreme winter conditions down here in Austin, with lows as low as 17 degrees, which I know to many of you around the country sounds like a walk in the park, but we had to winterize our outdoor pipes at the Bowlin Media Content House and at my house, which got me back to thinking about how there are just pipes in our homes, in our apartments, in our domiciles that are just chock full of shit and piss running through the walls and underneath all of our house. And I guess also toilet paper, like paper. You know, there's just paper in there,
mm-hmm.
which feels like it probably slows the roll of the shit, you know? It's just a weird, you don't ever think about this. We don't think about it. It's out of sight, out of mind.
It's kind of like not wondering how the sausage is made. Like, I didn't need to know about this, and now you just brought it up.
Well, but like, you know, if you want to know what's in a hot dog, you got to like Google it.
Yeah.
This is like common sense. Like, when I go to the second floor of my house, I'm upstairs, and I take a shit, and I flush.
Yeah.
Then there's just a turd sliding down a pipe in the walls.
Yeah, through your house,
But, like, where does it go?
To the...
See, I don't really know.
Like, it's not like the sewers, or it is the sewers.
I don't know, man. That's what I'm saying.
It's whatever the filtration system
Let's say you're right. Let's say it goes to the sewer. Well, then there's just a river of shit underneath all of us all of the time, which is also weird. It's weird because it's the sewers, you know.
Well, I mean, it's better than just like the old days. They just had like,
throwing out there. Just throw your shit in the street and then let the rain wash it away.
Yeah.
That's how the plague started.
I mean, the poop has to go somewhere.
It does. But it's just every once in a while it occurs to me, well, there's just shit and pee pee and other bodily fluids up inside the walls.
Well, it's mostly water.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's just like a little turd and then a lot of water.
I don't know, man. I've taken some really aggressive dumps.
All right, well, one giant turd and a lot of water.
Like some of them I've taken, I wonder how long it I wonder the journey. That's what I want to know. That's what the whole point of this opening segment is. I want to know, when I take a dump upstairs in my house, how long does it take for it to travel out of my home and into that sewer with everybody else's poo-poo? That's what I wanted. I know you don't have the answer.
We need to get like a little camera and just put it in the poo and see where it goes.
Track it.
Yeah.
Stick a tracker on my turd. That's what you're saying? No, but if we have like a plumber in the RBP gang who has knowledge of turd travel speed, please call in to 888-WR-BOLIN so we can discuss this further on Patreon, because it keeps me up at night.
This is what is keeping you up.
I just want to know more about where my bodily fluids and solids go and how long it takes them to get there and what it's like when they arrive.
I kind of feel like most of it, like when it gets to its final destination, I feel like it's kind of like just most of it's washed away. Yeah.
You think it just disappears?
Well, I don't want to say like disintegrate's not the right word, but it kind of just
it's
like
broken up.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's kind of what happens towards the end.
That's what gives you comfort?
That's what I'm going with.
You don't think there's just a mountain of shit down there, just everybody's poop combines into this massive...
I mean, doesn't it go into the ocean? Like, that's like the end? That's where it...
See, I don't really want to know. I do want to
know. You want to know, you're bringing
I think
it up.
The reason we don't know is because nobody really wants to know, but I kind of also need to know. Like, if that's the case... Like if we're all just dumping in the ocean, I mean that's gonna take a little bit of my love for the ocean away. Swimming in the I love going to the beach and swimming in the water, but if that's just chock full of a few billion people's shit, damn,
then you're out on oceans.
Vacations just destroyed.
Yeah, see, I'm not a big fan of the ocean, so that's fine with me. You can put your shit.
You don't like swimming in the ocean?
Absolutely not, dude. The ocean's terrifying.
Oh, it freaks you out?
Oh my god, yeah. There's just.
You don't know what's down there.
Someone's poo.
The poo monster is down there for sure. All right, well, let's move on. I'm sorry to anybody who started listening to the show today during lunch. if you're on your lunch break right now and we started with poo talk. But frankly, if you've been here long enough, you know it's like a 50-50 chance that we're going to get to poo or the two hole at some point during the course of the podcast. It just keeps happening. Because I'm sick in my head.
It's one of the staples of our show.
It's what we do here.
It's mental health, comedy, and poo talk.
Well, we're going to learn stuff today, too. That's huge.
Oh.
So let's go ahead and let's learn something weird.
Grab your light. This is Stop the Wikipedia when you're high.
I should say up front, before we get into this stuff to Wikipedia when you're high, we've got a new sponsor coming soon. Not right now. I'm not doing an ad read. Don't hit skip. But a new sponsor that is going to be on an upcoming episode that Ship does a bunch of their product. And so yesterday we had this giant box show up to Bolin Media, like probably the largest box we've ever had arrive at this house. And I cracked it open. And there was every type of bong and smoking device you could possibly imagine. Just an absurd package to receive. And like two of each, like one for me and one for Cade, of every single fucking product that this company that you will learn at a later date makes. And it was awesome. It's just like one of those moments I'm really happy to be in this business.
It was like Christmas for me.
It was. They're nice.
They're really nice. Yeah, I can't wait to try them out.
I'm talking glass, baby.
Yeah.
Wrapped in an amount of bubble wrap that would make your head fucking explode. It was wild. Anyway, today's stuff to Wikipedia when you're high is the Tooth Fairy. Now, we're all aware of the Tooth Fairy on some level, and when Cade and I spent a lot of time over the Christmas holiday discussing, I believe on both our public episodes and our Patreon, because it kept coming up, Santa Claus and like the origins of Santa and how it's weird that we tell kids that there's this...
Yeah, how fat. Parents basically lie to their kids.
Yeah, it's this big scam where we're getting kids to behave by telling them that this fat, bearded man watches them year-round, 24/7, sees them when they're sleeping, knows when they're awake, and that's our system for keeping kids under control. then we brought up the Tooth Fairy, and we were like, well, I don't really know, like, because, you know, everybody's aware of some of the Santa Claus origins, like the Krampus and all that weird shit. And
yeah, was it Kris Kringle? Was that, or no, what's Saint Nick?
Saint Nick, yeah, yeah. There's a bunch of variations, but I don't know shit about the Tooth Fairy. No idea, outside of, this is what I was told when I was a kid, that when you lose a tooth, you put that tooth under your pillow when you go to sleep that night, and the Tooth Fairy comes, again, the details here are important, into your home, into your bedroom while you're sleeping, somehow accesses the underside of your pillow to take said tooth and replace it with currency, which is batshit insane, and something we teach children. So we're gonna read the Wikipedia for the Tooth Fairy today, which it turns out is quite exhaustive. The Tooth Fairy, it says, is a fantasy figure of early childhood in Western and Western-influenced cultures. And I'll say up front, one of the most exciting things about this Tooth Fairy learning session we're having today is that it turns out the Tooth Fairy comes in many different forms internationally. So like here in the United States, it's quite simple by comparison. It's a fairy that wants your teeth. The shit that you're going to hear, son, about some of these other places, my God. It says the folklore states that when children lose one of their baby teeth, they should place it underneath their pillow or on their bedside table. The Tooth Fairy will visit while they sleep, replacing the tooth with a small payment. In Northern Europe, a tradition of tanfe, or tooth fee, was paid when a child lost their first tooth. This tradition is recorded in writings as early as circa 1200, which are the earliest written record of Norse and Northern European traditions. In the Norse culture, which I believe is like Viking culture,
yeah,
children's teeth and other articles belonging to the children were said to bring good luck in battle, and Scandinavian warriors hung children's teeth on a string around their necks.
Vikings have some batshit crazy, like...
They're wild.
Ideas, yeah.
That's horrifying, frankly. If I was in battle and somebody was running toward me with a necklace made of children's teeth, I would probably...
Yeah, they just have, like, the long beards, I would like, feel shaved fear. Heads, like, tattoos all over them.
Yeah.
Yeah, just terrifying. Then you see they have children's teeth around their neck. Yeah, that's not the type of guy I want to see.
No, it's a fairly effective intimidation tactic, I would say. During the Middle Ages, other superstitions arose surrounding children's teeth. In England, for example, children were instructed to burn their baby teeth to save the child from hardship in the afterlife.
I thought you couldn't...
How do you burn a tooth?
I thought that you couldn't do that.
Maybe the fire has to get like... Well, yeah, because when people die, they, you know, even if they burn them, they find their teeth and their bones. I don't know. The British, man. Different over there across the pond, you know? It says children who did not consign their baby teeth to the fire would spend eternity searching for them in the afterlife. Who the fuck tells that to a child? Who the fuck tells a child, you got to burn, oh, you lost a tooth, Timmy? All right, we're going to have to burn that tooth and burn it good, Timmy, to ash, because if you don't, you're going to spend eternity searching for that tooth in the afterlife. It's fucking insane. The Vikings paid children for their teeth. Fear of witches was another reason to bury or burn teeth. In medieval Europe, it was thought that if a witch were to get a hold of one's teeth, it could lead to total power over them, which of course reminds me of the scene in The Sopranos where the female mafia boss across the pond in Italy tells Tony Soprano that she has to burn her fingernail and toenail clippings because if your enemy gets a hold of them, they can make the evil on you. It sounds like that's a similar belief system here that we've got going on with the witches in medieval Europe.
Were, like, witches, I'm just like, were they ever real? Like,
Witches ever real? Is like, that the question you're asking me right now?
Kind of. Like, I don't know why, like.
No, it was mostly.
Like, I know the Salem witch trials, like.
It was mostly an excuse to murder unruly women.
Yeah.
Who didn't go along with the times.
But like, witches seemed like a way bigger deal back in the day.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, I think, eventually they had to stop.
They had to go into hiding.
Yeah.
Because they knew they were going to get burned.
I don't really know how that came to an end, honestly, other than like progress in society making it unacceptable to just burn women at the stake and accuse them of being witches. She's a witch! But if you're asking me if I believe there was ever a witch, like a legit witch,
yeah,
I bet so.
Doing like
I can
voodoo,
buy into that. Yeah. At least one witch, you know? Mm-hmm. There had to be. It says, unlike Father Christmas and to a lesser extent, the Easter Bunny, which we will almost definitely do one of these about at a later date, probably in April when it's appropriate, there are a few details of the Tooth Fairy's appearance that are consistent in various versions of the myth. A 1984 study conducted by Rosemary Wells revealed that most, 74% of those surveyed, believed the Tooth Fairy to be female, while 12% believed the Tooth Fairy to be neither male nor female, so just a sexless fairy. And 8% believed the Tooth Fairy could be either male or female. And when asked about her findings regarding the Tooth Fairy's appearance, Wells explained, quote, you've got your basic Tinkerbell-type Tooth Fairy with the wings, wand, a little older and whatnot. Then you have some people who think of the Tooth Fairy as a man, a bunny rabbit, or a mouse. So a fairy that's a bunny or a mouse, that's it just what the stuff that we've come up with as humans is truly outrageous. It says, our review of published children's books and popular artwork found the Tooth Fairy also to be depicted as a child with wings, a pixie, a dragon, a blue mother figure, a flying ballerina, two little older men, a dental hygienist, a pot-bellied flying man smoking a cigar, a bat, a bear, and others.
Yeah.
Two older men? Little older men?
It's a two-man job. You know, you got to have someone get the tooth and then someone to put the money under.
Somebody to pick the lock.
Yeah.
Somebody holds the pillow up. One of the two little old men mm-hmm. holds the pillow up.
Yeah, because you
other
can't
one.
Have the child wake up.
Yeah. True, because then they'd be really freaked out.
Yeah, two men are in their bedroom.
Two little older men.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I like to picture my Tooth Fairy in a tuxedo t-shirt because, you know, he likes to be formal, but also likes to party.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to go, I like mine, my Tooth Fairy is the pot-bellied flying man smoking a cigar.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It just sounds like Santa without the reindeer and a cigar.
Yeah. A bear, like that's
a fucking bear?
Just a giant
bat?
Bear.
Or a bat?
How are they getting in there?
I really don't know. I don't understand what we're doing. Unlike the well-established imagining of Santa Claus, differences in renderings of the Tooth Fairy are not as upsetting to children, it says. Yeah, I'm pretty fucking upset. So it's pretty upsetting to adults. Fucking pot-bellied flying man smoking a cigar or a bat or a bear. The reward left by the Tooth Fairy varies by country. The family's economic status, amounts the child's peers report receiving, and other factors come into play. It says a 2013 survey by Visa Inc. found that American children received $3.70 per tooth on average. So that was 10 years ago. And it says, according to the same survey, only 3% of children find a dollar or less, and 8% find a $5 bill or more under their pillow. Says the reward is affected by inflation. Of course it fucking is. According to data gathered by the American dental insurance company Delta Dental, the average payout per tooth in the United States rose from $1.30 in 1998 to $6.23 in 2023. Damn. I feel like it in 2024, if you're not getting a 10 spot per tooth, your parents have cheaped out on you.
I think when I was losing my baby teeth, I got like $5 for the first one, then I think the rest were like $1, $2 maybe.
That makes sense.
Wasn't, yeah.
First one special.
And then, yeah,
after
it was
that.
Like, because they just keep falling out after that.
Oh, yeah. There's a bunch of them.
Yeah. Did you ever have to like get any pulled out because like they just wouldn't fall out?
I vaguely remember tying a string around one.
See, I never did any of that. I was not going to do that.
I want to say I did the string, and then I tied the string around a baseball and then threw the baseball. And it yanked it out. But I could be, that could be like something I completely fabricated in my mind at this point. My childhood memories are few and far between. From like a certain age, you know, like before 10, I got very little in the bank. I think I drank and smoked and snorted a lot of that away.
And yes, press law, the trauma.
And the trauma, of course.
Yeah.
According to Delta Dental, the payouts trends typically mirror macroeconomic conditions and the S&P 500 stock index. So the better the economy is doing, the more kids are getting for their teeth. Delta Dental also found that the first tooth lost gets a higher reward than other teeth on average in the United States.
Yep,
there you go, kid. It says in Spain and Hispanic America, El Ratoncito Perez, or Raton Perez, the literal translation of which is Perez the Little Mouse or Perez Mouse, is the equivalent to the Tooth Fairy. So they have a mouse.
Okay.
And he first appeared in an 1894 tale written by Luis Coloma for King Alfonso the 13th, who just had lost a tooth, a milk tooth, at the age of 8. As is traditional in other cultures, when a child loses a tooth, it is customary for the child to place it under the pillow so that El Ratoncito Perez will exchange it for a small payment or gift. The tradition is almost universal in Spanish cultures with some slight differences. He is generally known as El Ratoncito Perez, except for some regions of Mexico, Peru, and Chile, where he is called El Raton de los Dientes. Translation, the tooth mouse. And in Argentina, Venezuela, Uruguay, and Colombia, he is known as simply as El Raton Perez. He was used by Colgate Marketing in Venezuela and Spain. In Italy, the tooth fairy, Fatina de Denti, is also often replaced by a tiny mouse named Topolino. Why are there just mice in others in Europe?
We got a fairy and everyone else has mice? The mice and the pot-bellied man that smokes a cigar.
Bizarre. Truly bizarre.
But what's a mouse going to do with the teeth?
Like, I have
all
no
those teeth. And how is he getting all this
mouse
money?
House? Yeah, that's a good question.
I guess from the sewers, maybe. You know, people like loose change. And
maybe.
The poop dollars and stuff.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It says in France and French-speaking Belgium, this character is called La Petite Saure, the little mouse. From parts of lowland Scotland comes a tradition similar to the fairy mouse, a white fairy rat who purchases children's teeth with coins. Equally horrifying. In the Basque country, and especially in Biscay, there is a Mary Teletucua, Mary from the roof, it says, who lives in the roof of the house and catches teeth thrown by the children. Look, we could go all day here. There's another one in Cantabria. He is known as the tooth squirrel. A squirrel, a rat, a mouse, just rodents collecting children's teeth, NBD.
And just leaving a little gift for you.
Yeah, and when I was going through some of these other countries, which we're not going to get to all of them, but like in a lot of places, like in Japan, you take your teeth and you either, if it's a bottom row tooth, like one from the bottom row of your teeth,
yeah,
you spike it to the ground, and if it's one from the top row, you like throw it up into the air.
And what?
I don't fucking know, kid.
Do you still get a dollar for that? You get
not entirely sure.
Okay.
We are very strange with our teeth. That's what I've learned. Yeah. The humans, we've got weird shit that we're doing here.
Yeah, I saw on the Wikipedia page. They also like talked about movies and shows that brought out the tooth fairy.
Oh yeah,
and I'm kind of surprised there aren't more horror films about the tooth fairy. I feel like we had the one with Dwayne the Rock Johnson. No, classic film, but no horror films. I feel like that's a great one.
Yeah, I just found one, the 2010 film, The Tooth Fairy, and it says, a bad deed on the part of a tough minor league hockey player results in an unusual sentence. He must serve 1 week as the real-life tooth fairy. I guess because hockey players lose their teeth a lot?
They do, yeah.
Is the connection there? Fucking weird, though. And yeah, you're not wrong, considering we've got scary Santa movies now.
Yep.
We've got Winnie the Pooh horror films now.
Got a Thanksgiving one.
Yep.
That just dropped.
You got to assume there's going to be a Mickey Mouse one soon because some of their copyright trademark shit expired and they're public domain now.
Yeah, Steamboat Willie or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, as of a few weeks ago or a couple months ago or something. There's got to be a horror movie for the Tooth Fairy if it doesn't exist already. Yeah. Somebody should be working on that script because Hollywood's fresh out of ideas. We know that.
Yeah, no, they got nothing new going on up there.
Just all sequels and existing IP.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there you go. There you have it. There's your history of the Tooth Fairy. It is about as disturbing as I expected it to be. Today's episode is brought to you by a new sponsor called Mood. If you're like me and have trouble falling asleep and staying asleep or relaxing in social situations or staying calm in general, maybe dealing with soreness after workouts, Mood might interest you. So listen up. Mood is an online dispensary with a variety of products tailored to set your mood, with product lines like Energized, Creative, and Focused to help you get in the right mood for whatever your day has in store. And for a limited time, Mood is giving the RBP gang a free THCA pre-roll and 20% off your first order. Just visit hellomood.com and use our code RBP when you check out. I'm a big fan of Mood's Sleepy Time Delta 9 THC gummies that help me wind down at the end of the day, get to sleep, and stay asleep so I can recharge and get ready for another day of podcasting and getting my ass kicked by my kids. Mood is known for their federally legal THC, and now they're adding their most potent product to the lineup yet. introducing hemp-based THCA flower, the future of legal THC. Try it along with all of Mood's other amazing offerings like gummies, vape cartridges, and more. THCA flower is Mood's latest and most potent breakthrough in the world of legal cannabis. Since THCA converts into THC when you heat it, you get access to the classic marijuana high, and Mood has 10 high-inducing strains, the most potent they've ever offered. However you like to take THC, Mood has you covered. Great for both beginner and veteran users, great-tasting gummies, classic flower, convenient pre-rolls, and so much more. Try Mood's THCA flower today, and for 20% off your first order and a free THCA pre-roll with your order, go to hellomood.com and use promo code RBP. That's hello, M-O-O-D, hellomood.com, code RBP for 20% off your order and a free THCA pre-roll. Now, it is time for insane headlines of the day. Our first one is probably about as unsettling as the Tooth Fairy lore. Google now admits it tracks you in Google Chrome's incognito mode following $5 billion settlement. So you know how when you're on your Google Chrome, you use Chrome? Are you a Chrome guy? Are you what, a fucking Safari guy over here? Do you even know?
On my laptop, I have Safari, but on the...
Your big work computer?
Yeah, I use Chrome.
Chrome?
Yeah, but I never used incognito
mode. What about on your phone?
Yeah, I just use Safari.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, okay. I'm a Chrome guy, and I'm like every Chrome user, I'm familiar with incognito mode, you know? Not speaking for myself here, but I think most people, when they're Googling something unsavory, perhaps pornographic, or like... you know, if the mood strikes you and you're Googling, like, Selma Hayek boobs, then you go into incognito mode.
Yeah, don't want that on the regular browser.
No, and you feel safe there. Yeah. You feel safe there. It's not.
I do that.
It's like, not showing up in the history, you know?
On Safari, like, you can, like, have, like, just your regular browser, then you can go, like, over to private. So I use that, but, like, so yeah. It's basically the same thing.
Well, I've always felt safe in incognito mode, and it turns out I'm not. Says Google settled a class action lawsuit for $5 billion that it alleged it misled users into thinking the company would not track them in incognito mode. Its original disclaimer said that Chrome would not save their browsing data, but websites, ISPs, and others could still see it. A new disclaimer clarifies that while Chrome, the browser, isn't tracking your data in incognito mode, Google, the website, and company still can, which is an interesting distinction, Google. But $5 billion, Jesus, God.
Yeah, who's that go to?
I don't know. I think a little bit of it, we'll probably all get like $1.25 in the mail, everybody that uses Chrome.
Sorry for stealing your data. Here's $1.25.
Yeah, we know
you. Just pull out a tooth and get the same.
We know you looked up furry
porn.
Here's your $1.25. Mm. Yeah, that's, you could get more from the Tooth Fairy, Cade. That's a good point. Anyway, that's more unsettling news. Here's another headline. Concert goers sue Madonna. You know who Madonna is, Cade?
Yes, I am familiar
that's
with
good.
Her. Yeah.
They sue Madonna and Live Nation over show starting late. And this is fucking fascinating to me because this is a real problem in the concert industry. Show starts at 8:30. Suddenly it's 10:30 and they're still not on the stage. You're starting to wonder what the hell you were thinking coming to this concert. In Austin, for example, in Austin, Texas, a lot of headliners come through the city on Tuesdays. Like when I went and saw Jay-Z, it was a Tuesday night, which is a work or a school night, which, you know, you want the show to start at a reasonable hour so that your next day isn't completely wrecked. Plus, for everybody that's over 35 years old like me, we go to bed much earlier than the youths. We don't have the same level of energy that you people do. So we need the show to start on time, and they fucking never do, especially rappers, and it turns out, Madonna. From ABC News, two New York City men wanted to get into the groove of a Madonna concert. Now, they're suing the pop superstar for starting her show late because they had to get up early the next day. Respect. Michael Fellows of Brooklyn and Jonathan Haddon of the Bronx, I like that two boroughs are represented here, bought tickets for Madonna's December 13th Celebration Tour concert at Barclays Center, which is where the Brooklyn Nets play. The tickets said the show would start at 8:30, but Madonna did not take the stage until sometime after 10:45 p.m., according to the lawsuit, and the men said that they were, quote, confronted with limited public transportation, limited ride-sharing, and or increased public and private transportation costs by the time the show let out at 1 a.m., perhaps encouraged by Madonna's urging to express yourself. Fellows and Haddon also complained the concert was no holiday because, quote, they had to get up early to go to work the next day and take care of their family responsibilities, end quote. Fellows and Haddon are suing Madonna and Live Nation and Barclays Center for, quote, unconscionable, unfair, and or deceptive trade practices for promising the public that the concert would begin at 8:30 p.m., knowing that Madonna would not begin performing at the advertised start time. The pair is arguing that there was a breach of contract. Madonna has faced similar lawsuits before, it turns out, like during her 2019 Madame X tour. She was sued multiple times for starting concerts late. I couldn't find an example of one of these lawsuits where they've actually succeeded.
I was about to say, this seems like a tough battle to win.
Yeah, because I think when you buy tickets like this, you know, like you go to an NFL game, and you got your ticket, your physical ticket, and on the back of the ticket, it says like, basically...
Isn't it like time subject to change?
Subject to change. If you get hit in the face by a football, that's your fucking problem. Nothing that happens to you here while you're at this event is our responsibility. You take all legal responsibility once you enter the premises, that kind of thing. That being said, I would like something to be done about this because it is a pain in the fucking ass.
Yeah, that's over 2 hours late.
And you're just standing there,
yeah,
or sitting there, but like bored out of your mind, drinking, eating, spending more money on food and drinks, right? Like, and it's all expensive as hell at concert venues. They rip you off. They take you for an arm and a leg. And it's frustrating as hell, especially when you're excited to see somebody. I realize that there's got to be some kind of a reason this happens on occasion, mm-hmm, right? Like a flight is delayed, or
yeah, like for Kendrick at ACL, right, he had like a flight issue, so
started,
he was an hour late. Yeah.
And that's a completely different scenario. Like, and if that happens, like with the Kendrick show at ACL, they should come out and say, "Hey, sorry, he's had a flight issue. We'll let you know like when he's about to come on, but it's going to be at least another 30, 45 minutes or something like that, so that you have the ability, just so you're aware."
Yeah, they had it like on the big screen, so like everyone knew. It was just like, ah, oh, damn, that sucked. That's disappointing.
Yeah, but like when you're at a show, that never fucking happens. That's like the only time I've even heard of that. Usually you're just stuck standing there and wondering, like, when is Snoop Dogg going to come
like
on?
Or like Frank Ocean at Coachella. Like, I think he came on like an hour late too.
Yeah, and that's
no reason for it.
And I hear about this shit all the time, especially at smaller venues, and sometimes it's the result of like a fee argument between the artist or their representation and the club owner, and it just, there's all kinds of, fucking stop, y'all are killing us, man. I doubt there are any famous rappers or musicians currently listening to the program, but if there are, stop it. Fucking A. It sucks. It's brutal. You're ruining the experience for some of your biggest fans who have spent hard-earned money to come out to your goddamn show, Madonna. And then you're 2 fucking hours late. What the hell are you doing back there? What are you doing back there? And at the very least, come out and tell us what you were doing. If you were back there having an orgy and smoking doobies, sick. Share it with us. We paid to be here. God damn. They just come out and start like nothing happened.
Yeah, they're just like, oh, hey,
showtime.
It's great to see,
like,
everyone.
What the
yeah.
fuck? We've been out here for fucking 8 hours,
and you,
man,
just like lose that excitement. Like, you're just standing there, and then you're like, you get pissed,
and then you get tired.
Yeah,
you're sitting like, there drinking. Maybe you smoked a doobie in the car on the way over.
Like, you're starting at 11. Like, I know, like, in a lot of cities, like, they have like noise curfews or something, like, where like you can't, like,
especially
have,
for outdoor venues,
yeah, you can't be like playing music like past a certain point. Like, and you're already almost at 11, which is like when the cutoff is.
I want to hear Like a Virgin before midnight,
yeah.
Not after. Like a Virgin. It's a Madonna song.
Yeah, I know. Right. I figured. I don't know if I know that one.
Like a Virgin.
What? I do have some Madonna songs that,
touched for the
that go.
First time.
What?
You're welcome for that.
Thank you. Oh, Like a Prayer. That's,
oh yeah,
that one goes.
That's a hit.
I would go see Madonna just for that song.
That's a hit. That's a banger.
That's a banger. That is a banger.
Today's episode is also brought to you by Factor, and if you're like me, then you're either too busy, too tired, or too ineffective in the kitchen to worry about what's for dinner when you're just trying to relax at the end of the day, watch some sports ball, or take on your favorite TV shows. That's where Factor comes in and takes care of everything. I just go to the fridge, pick a Factor, toss it in the microwave for 2 minutes, and bang, I'm eating like a king on the couch. It's cheaper, better, and better for you than takeout. Get started on your resolutions this year with Factor, so you are ready all 2024. Factor's ready-to-eat meal delivery takes the stress out of meal planning and sets you up for success in the new year. Skip the grocery stores, prep work, and cooking fatigue. Instead, get chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals delivered right to your door. With over 35 meals to choose from each week, including options like keto, calorie smart, vegan plus veggie, and more, plus over 55 weekly add-ons that you can stick on there, you'll have a ton of nutritious and flavorful options to kickstart your resolutions. Skip the overpriced takeout trap. Factor is cheaper and way more delicious than takeout. Get chef-crafted, restaurant-quality meals delivered right to your door. They're ready to heat and eat in just 2 minutes, which means more time for you. Forget frantic lunch preps and rushed dinners. Factor's two-minute meals are your secret weapon in the new year. Fuel up fast with restaurant-quality meals all delivered right to your door. For the bulk of 2023, my family survived on these things because my wife is the de facto cook in our house. She's talented in the kitchen where I am not. And because we had a newborn and everything that comes with that, she was not as available to do all that cooking. So we got us some Factor, and my God, is it good. I've tried a lot of these like prepackaged meal services companies over the years. Factor is far and away my favorite, the most delicious, and with the best options in terms of all the different things you can pick from. Super easy sign up. And I'm a huge fan of Factor, and they've been a solid sponsor for us for like a full year now. So head to factormeals.com/RBP50 and use code RBP50 to get 50% off. That's code RBP50 at factormeals.com/RBP50 to get 50% off. Oh my God, we haven't done this segment in so long.
And now, Russ Boland's Animal of the Week.
I honestly forgot that we even had a theme song for Animal of the Week.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I mean, it's been months, many, many months. Frankly, the first like 200 episodes of the show, we covered so many goddamn animals.
Yeah, you're just cranking them out.
That now it's hard to go find one that I haven't done before. Like when this one got sent to me, which was sent to me by a listener in my Instagram DMs, I think a week or two ago, I first look, I was like, I'm pretty sure we've done that. But then I Googled, because usually I can just Google the Ross Boland podcast and whatever animal it is I'm trying to cover. And if we've done it before, it pops up. But it did not pop up, and I searched my Google Docs, so I'm pretty confident this is the first time we will have done the volcano snail, otherwise known as the scaly foot gastropod. This thing is a snail that lives in deep sea hydrothermal vents 1.5 to 1.8 miles below sea level. Way the fuck down there, kid. Yeah. You're never going to come in contact with one of these because you fear the ocean.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be in a submersible anytime soon, I don't think.
No, I wasn't planning on it.
Yeah. It says the atmospheric pressure down there where they live is crushingly low, but the snails have adapted to it. The volcano snail is the only animal on Earth whose body is made up of mineralized iron. So you can pick up a volcano snail with a magnet, which is strange. It can also, the volcano snail, withstand temperatures of up to 750 degrees Fahrenheit, which I am assuming is, you know, where the name comes from.
Oh, that's why they call it the volcano snail. They're not, like, found in volcanoes.
No.
They're found in the
deep sea hydrothermal vents.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you, I mean, I'm assuming you've seen the pictures of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You should pull it up on Google if you haven't.
They look very cute, not, like, terrifying at all.
Yeah, and apparently they inspired multiple Pokemon. Mm. Like, there are multiple Pokemon that were inspired by the old...
I could see that, yeah.
The old volcano snail. They're bigger than you would think, I would note. This is a large snail. Like, I'm looking at one in a human hand.
Is that
real?
Yeah, it doesn't...
I can't tell.
Some of the pictures are, they look a little different, so I think this
fucker is large.
Yeah.
Or are these toys that people are making and selling, volcano snail toys? I don't have all the answers. I only have the ones that Wikipedia provides.
Yeah. I think I don't like snails. They kind of freak me out.
You don't want that to be your tooth fairy?
No.
The volcano snail slithers up to your bed?
I think it might take a while for... them to get there.
Yeah. They also, apparently they don't eat. They don't need to eat.
Mm.
It says they have a symbiotic relationship with bacteria that live in their esophageal gland, and the bacteria produce energy for them. So they don't have to take in food. They have a weird symbiotic bacteria living inside of them that provides them with energy in exchange for housing, it sounds like.
So they don't have to poo either? They're not, their poo's not going in the ocean?
I guess not.
Damn, that must be great. I wish I had a
just never have to shit
that produce energy for me so I don't have to shit anymore.
Or eat.
Yeah.
That would be great for productivity.
Mm-hmm.
We do spend a lot of time eating, the humans.
Yeah, and shitting.
Yeah, some of us more than others. Yeah. Like the cast of The Sopranos, they spend like 80% of their lives eating.
They do, yeah. They eat a lot.
They eat a lot. So the shell of the volcanic snail is made up of three layers. The middle layer is organic, proteinous, and very tough. It is so tough that scientists are bent on figuring out how to use its features to create military-grade protective gear from it. Okay, come on.
Of course.
Let's just leave the fucking snails alone down there. We're making military protective gear out of it. There's not a better use for this fucking snail. We're going to make goddamn bulletproof armor.
They could be the cure
armor
for cancer. Yeah, we're making bulletproof armor.
It's just how we do, man. It says the heart of the volcanic snail makes up 4% of its entire body volume. This is a very high proportion for any animal. The reason for their having such a big heart is believed to be efficient oxygen production for the endosymbiotic bacteria. They do not have eyes or tentacles. They're just sliding on their tummies down there.
You're alive. Yeah, just going off vibes. Just
that's right.
No seeing, no eating, just vibes.
Just vibes,
from
dude.
The snails.
That's how the volcano snail does. It says the scaly foot gastropod is considered endangered by the IUCN Red List due to risks from deep sea mining of its natural habitat. It is the first species to be listed as endangered for this reason. So we're all aware that we, like the humans, we, you know, if we fuck up the rainforest and that's made some things endangered, and we killed the dodo bird off. I don't know if that's actually true, but it died off. It's gone. This is the first deep sea mining potential casualty that we'll have, and it's the old volcanic snail, the volcano snail.
Yeah. See, you could be 2 miles
we'll still
deep in the ocean. Yeah, we'll find you.
We'll come down there. We'll turn you into body armor for our military and fuck your whole shit up, dude. God damn. It really is a bummer.
We suck.
We gotta stop, man. Just fucking, we just gotta stop. It's just unbelievable. Dude, I was listening to what we brought up, Murder on the Dance Floor earlier. Another one of the songs in the movie Saltburn is MGMT Time to Pretend.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the lyrics is, like the start of the chorus is, control yourself, take only what you need from it. Which is obviously referring to like the earth on some hippie shit, you know? But this is a perfect example of like, God, do we need to be down there?
Do we need to be mining that deep?
Do we need to be down there? This is exactly how you unleash some Godzilla-like shit. You crack open the wrong cave or fucking, what kind of weird hydrothermal vent, and the next thing you know, some sea monster is rising out of the ocean and destroying Japanese cities.
Yeah, I mean,
we just don't learn. It's the same thing we're doing with AI right now, man.
Yeah, we have so many movies that tell us why this could all go wrong, all go to shit, and then we don't learn. We don't.
And Zuckerberg is still out there.
Yeah.
Every day, just pushing it, trying to get more AI shit.
We're making robots, you know.
Paris Hilton solving crimes.
I wouldn't be shocked if we start, you know, cloning like dinosaurs and making theme parks.
My big question.
What?
Just straight up Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
My big question at this point is, by the time I'm dead, in my lifetime, will we be doing robot armies? Because, you know, we see these little robots getting bigger and better, and they're dancing, and they're learning karate moves and shit, these robots. Are they eventually going to replace human soldiers, and will we be doing robot wars? And is that event, like, then the it's going to be like that scene in Braveheart where the two sides are bum-rushing each other, and then it turns out it's the Scottish and the Irish, and they stop and they shake hands and combine forces, and then they go attack the British. It's going to be the robots bum-rushing each other, and they're going to stop and shake hands and go, let's go fuck
these
humans.
They're like, wait, why
up.
Are we fighting each other?
Let's kill
they're
the humans.
Making, yeah.
They've taken out the volcano snail.
Yeah.
Yep. And we'll deserve it.
Yeah, no, we... After all the
we're
shit we've done... Yeah,
we're really
we
asking,
asking
for it, man.
For it.
Anyway, volcano snail, animal of the week. It was a good one. It's also endangered, yeah, though, because we can't
protect
stop
the volcano snail.
Deep sea mining. That's our big philanthropic effort this year as a show. We're trying to save the volcano snail from all the evil deep sea miners that are out there. If you're a deep sea miner and you're listening... Stop it. Fucking cut it out. That will do it for today's show, but please support our sponsors by hitting the links in the description of this episode and using our dedicated codes. That's how we pay the bills here at Bolin Media. Sponsors for today's episode in the description below, whether you're watching on YouTube, listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or one of the other major podcast platforms. Get down there, click, use our codes, support our sponsors, support our show. Another way to support our show, go to patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. Patreon, patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast, where every week, Kate and I put out an ad-free, all-new, exclusive episode, all-new content, none of the stuff from earlier in the week or later in the week in some cases, like this week. But every week. So there's a huge backlog, hundreds of episodes that you've never heard before if you've never been on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast from pretty much every era of RBP. And you can go today, sign up for as little as $5 a month and gain access to the entire backlog, including this week's Patreon episode, which came out yesterday, before this episode even. That's just how the schedule shook out this week. It's been a wild one. Baby RJ got sick. My grandma was in the hospital. It's been a lot of chaos. I talk about that in more detail on Patreon, though, if you're interested. And yeah, those are the two main ways you can support us here at RBP. Support our sponsors who make the show possible. Then go to patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast and get a whole nother episode of RBP every week. If you're bummed out and annoyed that there's only one episode of our show per week, well, you're wrong. There's not. There's two. You just don't get the other one because you're not on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast, making sure this show can continue to exist. So please go sign up today, support the show, subscribe, and gain access to all of our ad-free exclusive episodes that are there on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. To support our other shows, go to bolinmedia.com, check out Formula Bone, Mr. Jared J-Bone, Boris Lowe's F1 show that is doing a lot of F1 off-season coverage currently, but the off-season is almost over. We're about a month away from the 2024 F1 season kicking off in late February, if I'm not mistaken. Formula Bone, available on youtube.com/@FormulaBone, and of course, all the major podcast platforms as well. Right now on Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, Bolin Media's premier TV and movie podcast hosted by myself and my dear friend, Mr. Barrett Dudley, we are covering the fourth season of True Detective, Night Country. Now, if you've never watched any of the other three seasons, it doesn't matter. This show is, what's the word?
Anthology?
Anthology, I think, maybe. Each season is a different story. All right, and you don't have to have seen any of the other ones for this one to make sense. Kind of like Fargo or American Horror Story. Just every season, they tackle a completely different story. So the premiere of this season was on Sunday, so you're only one episode behind if you haven't started watching True Detective Night Country. It's on Max, coming from HBO, and we're going to have a lot of fun covering the six episodes in total that will comprise this season four of True Detective on Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, which you can find wherever you get your RBP. And of course, if you are a Houston sports fan, you can check out Banging the Can, my Houston sports show that I also do every week. And right now we've been covering the Texans as they make an unprecedented, really, playoff run in terms of our team, because we historically suck massive, massive ass.
Yeah, big game Saturday.
Huge game, Kate.
Rooting for you.
For your boy, CJ Stroud.
Yeah, Stroud boy.
Proud boy. Stroud boy. Stroud, no, not proud boys. Stroud boys, stand up.
I'm a proud Stroud boy.
And stand by.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok at the Ross Bolin Podcast, at Ross Bolin Pod, if we're talking Twitter. Just search the Ross Bolin Podcast on all of them. You'll find it. It's on the social platforms. We're out there. We're doing it. Speaking of which, we're on youtube.com/@TheRossBolinPodcast as well, where you can watch full episodes of our show. Thank you to those of you who are subscribed on YouTube. It means a lot. And we've also got YouTube Shorts there on youtube.com/@TheRossBolinPodcast with clips of our show. Cade, where can the people follow you on social media?
You can follow me on all the social media platforms at Cade Orris. That's KadeOrris.
And I'm at WR Bolin on X, formerly known as Twitter, and Instagram, at WRBOLEN. We appreciate y'all. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends and family about RBP and all of the Bolin Media shows that you enjoy, as your word of mouth is the best way for us to continue to grow so we can continue to exist, unlike the volcano snail, which is being deep sea mined into oblivion. We don't want that to happen to us.
No. We don't want that to happen to anyone or any creature.
But really not us.
Yeah.
even more than the volcano. If the volcano snail has to go for us to stay,
yeah,
it's going to be a tough choice.
Yeah, it's going to take one for the team.
It's going to be a tough choice. We need that military grade body armor too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah, it's really important. You know, yep. When we fight the robots.
Yep, exactly, kid. Exactly. Until next time, peace be with you, and also with you.
Go low, baby.